Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We like to greet you in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus. You were listening to It's Working by William Murphy. Amen. We pray that everyone had a blessed weekend. Amen. And we pray that God will continue to strengthen and touch each and every one of us as we proceed through this week. Amen. Our hearts is heavy today. Amen. We lost a wonderful, wonderful bishop, one that I've known for the past 30 years. Amen. He was a friend. He was a father. He was a husband. He was a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. And that was none other than the Honorable Bishop Willie C. Mason of Zion Apostolic Church there in Detroit, Michigan. Well, really, Ferndale, Michigan. Amen. He has served this organization, the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith, for over 50 years, just about. Amen. So we certainly are paying homage this week as we continue our broadcast for this week. We're paying homage to Bishop Willie Mason, and we certainly are going to be praying for that family. Amen, amen. Bishop Mason was one that loved God's people. No matter where you saw him, no one was a stranger. He was always kind and friendly and loving. Amen. And he had the attributes of a godly man, a man that just didn't teach and preach this gospel, but a man that demonstrated love. And we certainly are paying homage to him on this week. They had his homegoing service today, and I was able to view a little bit of that service online today. And just want to read into your hearing before we get into our segment today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, it says, "For we are to be," excuse me, I had the wrong thing. Let me read it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read that into you here, and also verses 51 through 55 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound," my God, my God, "and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And I can also cross over to 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," the Bible says, this is the words of God, "henceforth," I'm pronouncing this over Bishop Mason today, "henceforth there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Rest in peace, Bishop Mason. Truly I can attest to you fighting a good faith. Amen. And as we remember this man on this week, this honorable man, it you know, when you lose people, especially the saints that you know that have lived a godly life before you, you know, we don't sorrow as some sorrow. And when we say homegoing, we're celebrating. Yes, our hearts are heavy, but we're celebrating a life that he lived to please God. Bishop Mason was a man that lived to please God. He wasn't seeking position. He wasn't seeking a high rank, but he sought to serve God's people. How many of us today can look to say, I'm looking to serve mankind. I'm looking, hallelujah, to see how that I can be a blessing in the lives of someone else. Amen. This man lived a life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we salute him today. And, of course, we are lifting up the Mason family on today as they mourn the loss of their husband, Lady Mason, their father, the grandchildren, and also the flock, the sheep. Hallelujah, the precious people of God, amen, that this man had the privilege to preach and teach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we salute him on today, and we remember that family in our prayers, amen. So we're going to keep going into our segment today. Again, it gives me great pleasure, amen, to have this man of God with us on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God because he has been a friend. Hallelujah. He's been just as a brother to me. And we all know that when we have family, amen, every day is not pleasant. Every day is not comfortable. We have our little issues, amen. But when you love, oh, glory to God, when you love like the Bible says, amen, you can't let too much grass grow under your feet. Hallelujah. You have to come back and you have to make things right because people of God, as I sit here watching that homegoing service and just thinking about those that have gone on, thinking about the matriarchs and the patriarchs of our family, some have died, amen, and we've been angry with one another and won't go back and say, forgive me, won't go back and forgive others, amen. The Bible said if we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. So I tell you, I am honored, amen, and I am privileged to have been a part of this man of God's life. He's been such a blessing. He's been introduced to my family. He's been here to New Orleans. He knows my mother, my brothers, sisters, and just have been a great, great supporter of my family and especially my sister. And that's how he came to really know my family, by advocating for my sister. Amen. And even when him and I didn't see eye to eye, that don't stop him from doing. God has put a special, something special in his heart to advocate, not just for Danielle, for all those, amen, that have experienced loss and have been in unfortunate situations and, you know, unpleasant circumstances have came upon us. Amen. He's always willing to go that extra mile and to do whatever he can. So, you know, even thinking about him, you know, when we initiated, and I'm just giving him some honor today because I love Brother Mike, even, you know, in our difficulties sometimes, I still love him as a brother, amen. And I just can remember me launching out and going into starting this work with this Blog Talk Radio. He was right there with me, and I called upon Brother Mike, And I'm calling him brother. He's a pastor. He's a prophet. He's a minister. He's all of that. But I'm calling him brother today because that's how I look to him, as a brother. Amen. And I called Mike and I said, Mike, you know, I'm going to launch out and do this block talking. I need you to help me. I said, you know, this is new territory. I don't know what I'm doing, but I want you to work with me. Amen. And he did that. And I remember that Saturday that week that we launched, I was going to visit my sister, and I gave him the information, and I say, now, you won't be able to see the callers that call in. I said, but just go on the line, and I'll never forget that first week topic was unity in the body. And I gave Mike the instructions, and he followed them through, and he preached that message, unity in the body. And nobody was able to remark or comment or anything of that nature, but he did that. And so I just appreciate him so much today. The Bible said, give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. So I'm giving him honor today because he is our speaker, and I'm just being led as the Holy Ghost lead me today to just give those props. Amen. You know, tomorrow ain't promised to us. You have to give people their flowers while they're able to smell them. You have to let them know how much you appreciate them. If anybody has said or done anything to you, I implore you today to get it right. To get it right. Go back. Amen. Humble yourself. Sometimes we have to eat the humble pie. Amen. And that's the only way we'll have full redemption. See, we think we're being redeemed because we have taken on the nature of Christ. But if you have truly taken on the nature of Christ, then you can't walk around with all this stuff in your heart. You got to let some of this stuff go. Not some of it. You got to let all of it go. Amen. If you want to reach the destination in Christ Jesus, if you want what I have these scriptures read over you, you have fought a good fight. The only way you can do that is to go back to your brother, go back to your sister, and get it right. Get it right. Tomorrow ain't promised to us. And we got all of these little trivia, all of this little isms, all of these little feelings that we have against one another. And we'll keep that in our heart for years. Amen. And we're still going to church, praising the Lord. Well, I'm here to tell you, some of us, our prayers are not being answered because we have unforgiving spirits. We won't get it right. It's all about us. Well, I beg to differ with you today. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's not about what you're doing. It's about what God has assigned you to do. Amen. It's about souls. It's about the kingdom of God. We come on this line 5 days a week. If we can't get along with one another, what are we here for, Prophet Mike? What are we here for? We're here to encourage one another. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to inspire. We're here to empower. We're not here to pull you down. We're not here to discourage you. We're not here to make you feel bad. I don't think Sister Ruby would open up the switchboard daily just to come on here to offend anybody. That's not what we're here for. We're here to further the gospel. That's what we're here for. So I tell you today, I have tears in my eyes remembering Bishop Mason. Hallelujah. 80-some more years old. He fought a good fight. How many of us, when we take our last breath, the pastor or whomever is over us, is going to be able to say we fought a good fight. The only way you can fight the good fight is if you try to love your brothers and sisters. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to get right on into this segment. I know you all didn't call to hear me, but I'm speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I honor this man of God, and I'm going to let him open up with the word of prayer. And whatever the Lord has laid on his heart to share with us today, it gives me great pleasure, amen, to introduce this man of God that have touched my life, that have touched my family life, have touched the saints of God near and far everywhere he goes. Amen. He's religiously at the shelter saying a word. He's religiously witnessing on the street corners. He don't need a pulpit, but guess what? Everywhere he go, he try to share this gospel, because guess what? He remembered what God has done for him. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce to some and present to others the speaker of the hour, and that's none other than brother, prophet, minister, Reverend Michael T. Lewis of Jesus. Jesus, I think, I done got the church, the ministry name wrong, Mike, so
it's okay.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Truly indeed, it's a blessing to be here again before your presence on the phone, honoring the Lord for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Now, the thing which you were trying to introduce was the company that I have started. It's called Jesus Is God On High Productions, where I do music and my preaching tapes. But the church that God has allowed me to establish is in his name, Church of Jesus Our Lord, Stockton, California. Now, before I get into the meat of the things, of the message that God has prepared for us, I'm going to pray. Dear kind and gracious Father, Lord, once again we're humbled and assembled in your midst, oh God. First of all, asking you for forgiveness of every sin, seen and unseen, sins of omission and commission, even the hidden sin of the heart, oh God. Father, I'm asking you right now to create in us a clean heart, renewing the right spirit down within us. For against thee and thee only have we sinned and done evil in your sight. So, Father, we acknowledge every one of our faults because our sins are ever before you. We ask you now to wash us thoroughly with your hyssop, making us whiter than snow. Purge us from our dead works in the mighty name of Jesus. Create in us a clean heart, renewing the right spirit down within us, where we will be careful to give you glory, give you honor. I pray that all that we say, ask, and do brings you to praise in Jesus' name. On last night, when I was asked to bring this message dealing with letting the redeemed of the Lord say so, immediately I began to confer in the spirit exactly what scriptures, God, that you wanted me to bring out. You know, I was in the hospital on last night visiting my daughter, who 2 weeks ago fell gravely ill by my side. She died twice, a miracle child. I'll talk about that a little later into the message. But I was at the hospital, and the first scripture came to my mind was Hebrews 12:1. We'll get to that later. But when I got home this morning from running errands and doing what I needed to do for my daughter as well for myself, I came in the house and I began to really start to research what was the cause of God saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So in doing the research, we find that the word redeemed was first spoken in the book of Genesis, but it wasn't until the Exodus that you really begin to feel the emphasis of what this word redeemed means. Now, in the concordance, redeem, according to page 1350 of the Hebrew and Aramaic dictionary, the part I want to focus in on, it says, the angel which redeemed me, talking about Jacob from evil. The word Gaal, its basic use had to do with the deliverance of persons or property that had been sold for death. So what I began to do is look at that word, delivered persons, persons delivered from death or from poverty, and I came up to Exodus, the 6th chapter. We're going to do a little reading for a little while just to get lay this foundation where we can really understand what the redeemed say so. you'll be unable to say definitely you are redeemed. So at the end of this sermon, you can say so. So beginning at Hebrews 6, we're going to read from Exodus 6, 1 through 9. Then we're going to go to Exodus 12, 1 through 13, and then Exodus, the 13th chapter, and then we'll go to Galatians after that. But beginning Exodus 6, 1 through 9. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, 1 through 13. And it reads, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of their souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat of it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now here God is setting precedence of why he is allowing the Egyptians to afflict the children of Israel, so that he can show them by a strong hand that he alone is God. But the part I like to understand is where he says, take a lamb. And when you take this lamb, you take this lamb from amongst the sheep as well as from the goat, a male of a year old, and this male cannot have a spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Why? Because this particular lamb is a representation of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. Here, God is letting you know that you take this lamb and you cook him whole, but what I want you to do from the blood that comes up out of this lamb, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost of your house and then on the upper post of your house. Why? Because when I come in through the land to destroy the Egyptians, where I see the blood, I will pass. So he's saying here, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the children of Israel yet still had a problem, even with God routing them with this great strong hand, bringing them up out of Egypt. They began to go into the land where God swore unto their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would give them this land as an inheritance, a land that they did not till nor work for, but because of the things that Abraham did to God, and God considered Abraham his friend, he said that he's going to give them this land, flowing with milk and honey. But before the children of Israel could get there, they murmured and they complained. They forgot that God had just brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. They just forgot that he told them about the sacrificial lamb that had been sacrificed that evening, that the blood was posted on the doorpost like it's supposed to be on our hearts today. That same blood is supposed to be applied in our lives today, but yet we're acting just like the children of Israel. Instead of us saying so, we're saying, God, we wish you would have left us as an alcoholic. We're saying, God, we wish you would have allowed me to stay in my whoredom. God, I wish I could still go out there and get my freak on. Why? Because it was better for me in Egypt. See, what Egypt represents is everything that is vile unto God. And here it is, God is trying to set precedence in the household of faith today. But the problem is we have come into our Canaan land. We have come into the land of promise. And God said, when you get there, don't be like the people that's in the land. But we couldn't wait to buy the same kind of car that they drive. We couldn't wait to go and get the same kind of clothes that they had on. We couldn't wait to start wearing the same hairstyle that they wear. And because of that, we're telling God, we wish to God you would have left us in our Egypts. So he's saying, even in spite of all that, I yet have a remnant. And that remnant, they're going to say so. Why? Because they're going to remember where I brought them from. Yeah, see, Abraham was reminded constantly of everything that God had done for him. So if Abraham was here, he would be one of those that would say so. And Moses, because of what he had done, being the spokesperson for God and doing the things that God had instructed him, bringing the children of Israel up out of Egypt, if he was here, he would say so. But you don't have too many people in the land today that is able to say so. Now let's go quickly to Galatians, the third chapter. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes to the Galatians, a church that seemed to be somewhat what they were, a church that seemed to be religious, somewhat had a knowledge of God, an understanding of who God was or who he is, and yet they were doing things that was kind of contrary to what Paul was saying. So in the first verse, Paul writes, "All foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you." He says in the second verse, "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith." See, here it is. We get in the church today and we think just because we go and feed the hungry, or we go and we give toys for Christmas or for Thanksgiving, we make this lavish dinner and we take it out there to feed those that are a little less despondent than we are, or those that are doing a little worse than what we is, we thinking because we're able to go out and give them some things that we are All right. So Paul said, wait. Did you receive this by the working of the flesh or by the spirit, which is the hearing of your faith? See, faith without works, being alone, it is dead. So Paul would say, let the redeemed of the Lord, that word is S-O, say so. But if you go on down to the 13th verse, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. There are those that understood the reasoning for why Jesus, who was the sacrificial lamb, came into the land and gave up himself as a ransom to do what? Redeem man from the curse of the law. Yet, because of what he done up on Calvary's cross, you got preachers in the pulpit. They're called pimps. Yeah, they're pimping out the daughters of Zion. They're pimping out the sons, sleeping with the sons. You got some big muscular dudes that giving out gold chains and entertaining little boys, and yet in the pulpit we're teaching it's okay for man to be man and a woman to be with a woman. But here we're saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who Jesus Christ redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, to understand the curses that were hanging upon the law, you got to go to the book of Ephesians, where it tells you, Galatians, where the fruit of the spirit, but it says the working of the flesh. In the fifth chapter, turn briefly, quickly to the fifth chapter. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, the problem is we're comfortable with the yoke of bondage in our lives. Some people can't stand to be free. Now, I have watched a few programs on television where the trainer begins to train or break in his stallion, his horse. And in doing so, he finally incorporates a rope around his neck. And the more that this horse began to buck and kick against the system, the more that the trainer began to pull on it to where he has a post that is tied in the middle of this area where he's breaking the horse in. Well, I've seen oftentimes that the spirit of the horse become broken, and because they lead a rope around the neck, the horse begins to go around in circles and circles over and over and over. And then the amazing thing is, even after the rope is taken up off the horse's neck, it still continues to go around in circles, in circles. That's the same that some of us in the church, we're going around in circles, in circles, in circles. Why? Because we won't allow what Christ done on Calvary cross, which was to redeem us from the curse of the law. See, Paul said, Jesus came into the world to take away the curse that was in our flesh. He said, in what the flesh was weak, it was weak. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, you can't say so if you still got lust in your heart. See, you can't say so if you still running around backbiting. See, you can't say so if you still going around whoremongering. You can't say so if you still hypocriting. See, the word said, let the redeemed of the law say so. When a person has been redeemed from the curse of the law, they no longer practicing the things of the flesh. They began to practice in the spirit. And in the spirit, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, forbearance. Against such there is no law. See, there's no law against the law of love. Because Jesus said, upon these two hang all the laws and the commandments. That is to love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might, and with all your heart. He said the second is likened unto this, that you love your neighbor like yourself. See, it's only when you love God with everything that is within you, you can say so. So this is why we say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But I got to pause right here just a little bit. See, the problem is, Sister Adrian hinted to this a little earlier as she was introducing the speaker of the hour. I like this because this is something that I push, if I could get away with the word, religiously. This is something that I push relentlessly. This is something that I push wholeheartedly. According to the Word of God, it tells us in the book of Matthew, he says, if you think your brother got an ought, he don't actually have to have one, but if it crosses your mind that there is a problem, he tells you, leave your gift. In other words, stop praying. I know you the religious folks. You can't believe that. Yeah, the Word of God tells you, quit praying because he ain't hearing you. You got to leave your gift at the altar, and then he says, go and do what? Reconcile to your brother. If he hear you, you just want him. But he say, if he don't hear you, then you go get two witnesses. But see, most of us, we don't never make it to the witness part because, first of all, we went in the wrong spirit. Yeah. Hold on. Look here. You go to them, you say, excuse me. I think something must be wrong between you and I because I seen how you looked at me the other day. Hold on, baby. Pump your brakes, man. See, you got to humble yourself. Brother, I perceive in my heart that I done something unjustly to you. I feel I done something wrong. Why my phone ringing?
Hello?
I'm on a broadcast. I don't know who this is. Hang up. I done something wrong. So in the process of you thinking that you done something wrong, you humble yourself to the individual and you tell them, brother, I'm sorry. But you got to make them feel it. Brother, I'm truly sorry. I didn't mean to do what I done. Didn't mean to say what I said. Will you please forgive me? Yeah, you got to say it in a manner that the person that you actually talking to, they feel what you're asking them to forgive you. But see, the problem is we been in the church a little too long, one day too many, talking to you that been there for a long time. You done parked and can't nobody move. You're not even the spirit of God. You just encamped out in the house of God, and you don't care who knows you're pissed off. Oh, sorry. You don't care who know that you're mad. Oh, excuse me. You don't care who know that you're upset. Because everybody in the church know you better walk past Sister Peacock. Why? Oh, she's in one of them zones. Praise the Lord. Well, like Sister Adrian hinted earlier, guess what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't think you'll be hearing those words. So I'm adjuring you, admonishing you. I'm asking you with all that is within me, please do your research so you can be one of those that say so. And when I say so, we're not saying so, like, so what? No. We're talking about let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When you say so, you're saying, God, everything is everything. Why? It's in your hand because of who you is. How you brought us out of Egypt, out of my addictions, out of my whoremongings. You delivered me from lying. You stopped me from stealing. So now I can say so. Come on, people. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom the Lord has redeemed from what? The curse of the tree. Jesus being made a curse for us. Come on. See, we got to go back to the old landmark. You know, I used to love to hear my mama say that when I was growing up. The old ship of Zion, come on, this old ship of Zion, we got to get on board, get on board, get on board, yeah. 'Tis the old ship of Zion. What, I didn't understand what them words meant, but they was talking about getting on board of a particular type of cruise ship. But this particular ship wasn't going down. No, it was going to Zion, to the heavenlies. And they were saying, come on, get on board. No lying there. No whoremonging there. No stealing there. No backbiting there. No hatred, variance, emulation, seditions. None of those things are there. Don't you want to go? Come on, get on board the ship of Zion. Come on, y'all. Look here. Jesus paid the price in full. He redeemed us that were in poverty. He redeemed us that was under the curse of our flesh, the workings of our flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwell no good thing. How? I don't understand for the life of me that we say we're saved. We say we're sanctified. We say we feel, you feel with something. It ain't the Holy Ghost. Feel with Casper, the friendly ghost. And my yet, God, you can't stand your brother who you see every day. Paul admonished and said, how say the love of God, it dwell in you when you shut up your vials of compassion. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. And again, it ain't saying so what? Uh-uh. God don't work like that. Yes. I'm busy right now, Peter. Okay. I got you. And so here it is. The Lord is saying, you got to say so. And in order to say so, there are some things that need to change in your life. See, the devil busy. He don't want this message to get out. So I'm being interrupted with a phone call that I ain't dialed, knocking on the door, knowing I'm in here talking. But yet, we got to stay focused. That's what God is telling us. We got to stay focused because there's a lot of distractions in the church. Oh, yeah, not just on the streets. There are distractions in the church. Sisters, I love y'all to death. Some of y'all blessed with some amazing figures and even been endowed in certain places. Come on, help your brother out. Cover some of that stuff up. Please, help the brothers out. Yeah, it don't take much for a man to go deep off in left field, but baby, leave something to the imagination.
My God.
But you're supposed to be married. Cover it up anyway. It's time out for us looking like the world in the house of God. Now, if you want to look like the world, you want to be like the world, then get out the house. Go on back into the world. Because God is looking for a people. He said a peculiar people. We are supposed to be peculiar. That don't mean your hair dyed red, gold, purple, blue, green, and orange. That's not peculiar. That's, I ain't going to say it. But he told us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, y'all getting an earful today. Why? Because God is coming back, saints. He's coming back, and he said he's looking for a church. Not a building, a church. Not a house, a church. Without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish, or any such thing. The same thing that God told Moses when he killed the lamb. He said a male lamb without a spot. That's for a reason. See, you can put on a white garment and you look real good in your white. But guess what? In the back where you can't see, there's a spot. And everybody notices the spot but you. And people are trying to point to your spot. But you thinking they're talking behind your back. They're trying to tell you you got a spot on your white garment. See, some of us is so stubborn, like the children of Israel, that God sent snakes in to bite them. And he said, if you would just look up, you can be saved. And we're not doing that. God is still saying, look up, you can be saved. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. As I begin to get ready to close, we're going to look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, yeah. A lot of people love this particular chapter. Some have given it a name, the Walk of Fame, the Hall of Fame, the All-Star of Fame. Why? Because the very first verse, it began to set precedence for what's getting ready to happen. Paul says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now look at the tone in which he's saying this. Let us lay aside every weight. Now Paul, again, he's saying, let us. That means there is something that you and I can actually do here. He's saying, lay aside what? Every weight. That means there are some things that we have allowed to come into our lives that isn't necessarily a sin. It's a weight. It is causing you to be slothful. It is causing you not to be sufficient in the things of God. So he's saying, lay it aside. Talking on the phone. Playing Game Boy or whatever them things, games, Nintendo. I might be outdated. I don't know the latest whatever. But you know what I'm talking about. You're on your computer all day long. Wait. He say, lay aside every weight, and then he say, the sin. Now we're going to deal with your sin. See, the Bible say, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin. But the problem is, the reason why we don't truly confess our sins, because we know as soon as we say it, we're going to go right back and do it. So we don't wholeheartedly say, God, really take this. Look, God, just in front of the people, because they standing around listening, I'm going to say something. Okay, Lord, can you take away the cigarette smoke? But I still want to smoke that crack. So, you know, don't take that away. I just need them to know I'm going to quit smoking. No, that's not what he's saying. You got to be truthful in your heart. Paul say, lay aside every weight in the sin that does so easily beset us. But the second verse says, looking unto Pastor Michael, Mark, James, Luke, John, Henry, the 14th from the 25th remove. Because that's who we're looking to. Well, my pastor didn't say that. My bishop, no, apostle, prophetess. Well, I beg to differ. Paul said, looking unto Jesus, not your pastor, not your mama, not your daddy, not your sister, not your brother, not the apostle, not the prophetess, not the preacher, not the evangelist, not the teacher. It said, looking unto Jesus. Not only is he the author of the book, he is also the finisher.
The devil is a lie.
Oh, I was just telling you that you, when you do it, you can drop off like I dropped off as the host.
Excuse me, we back on the line. Speaker dropped off for a moment. We binding in spirits right now. We've been having technical difficulty. Amen. But he'll be back on the line shortly. I hope you're receiving something. I don't know about you, but I am. Amen. So we're going to get Brother Mike right on, Pastor Mike right back on the line as soon as he called back in. The Bible say, let the redeem of the Lord say so. Jesus. And guess what? God knows every call that's on this line. Please know that. Amen. Just a moment. Is Ruby?
Yes, uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, the speaker is, Brother Mike, Pastor Mike is calling back in on the line. He said he's not hearing anything, but we bind these spirits right now. I had a devil I already spoke to, so it's all right. This is the word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. There's Mike right now. We're going to open his mind back up. Amen, Pastor Mike. It's all good. Just continue on.
Amen. I don't know where I was when I got cut off, but I was talking in the book of Hebrews. Did I make it that far with y'all? Hebrews?
Chapter 12.
I don't know. Did he make it that far, Sister Ruby?
You were in Hebrews chapter 12. You were saying that.
Okay. 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 Going back to what I was saying, the Bible say, according to Paul, looking unto Jesus, who the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't know if y'all got cut off, but I was saying he didn't say look to your pastor. He didn't say look to the apostle. He wasn't saying look into the prophetess. He wasn't saying look to your bishop, to your teacher. He was saying looking unto Jesus, who is not only the author, he's the finisher of our faith. It's time out for believing the report of everybody else and not accepting the report of the Lord. See, Paul is able to say so because he remember where he came from. He would tell you, he said, as one of those that was born out of due season, yet touching the law, perfect, blameless, against my peers, I excelled above all of them. You know, when it came to being a Jew, he said, I am a stout devout because I come from the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, my God. Paul puts it on record, his history in his background. But he said, I count all that but dung that I might know him in the pardoning of my sins. Paul would say so. Why? Because he said, I persecuted the church twice. I was left for dead. Three times beating, 39 stripes, imprisonments many, infirmities often. If anybody could say so, Paul would say so. Why? Because one day while he was up on the beast, he said, I saw a light that shined brighter than the noonday sun, and it knocked me from my beast, and immediately I conferred not with man, but I said, whom art thou, Lord? Paul had enough sense to recognize anything that powerful that can knock him who he was, a man that was on his way to Damascus after receiving a letter to hail all those that were calling on the name of Jesus, the one who redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Becoming a curse himself. See, Paul recognized that whatever power this was, it had to be the Lord. Whom art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, Paul, it is I, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's the same with us in the church house. When we do things to one another, the Bible declared that inside of you, inside of me, dwells the Spirit of God. That makes Jesus on the inside of me, Jesus on the inside of you. When you wrong me, you're wronging Jesus. When I talk about you, I'm talking about Jesus. It is time out for us playing church. Let the redeemed of the Lord come on, say so. It's time to say so. It looks like the church is going down. The enemy has set up shop in the house of God. Read your Bible in the book of Revelation. God say, I know where you see that Satan. I know where you're walking to and fro in my house. I know you have brought in those that have made themselves apostles and are not. I know that prophetess that call herself Jezebel, that witch. I know where she is in my house. Praise the Lord. The church has become lukewarm. He said, I would that you were hot or cold, but no, baby, it's too hot for you to be in the house. So you stay home under your air conditioner. It's too hot for you at the altar. So you go out with your boy friend to the club. It's too hot for you in the house of God. So you're doing everything that you got no business doing. Let the day of the Lord come on, say so. Yeah, he say, I would. You were hot or cold, but baby, you lukewarm. And because you lukewarm, you see, I like it hot or I like it cold. Because if you're one or the other, I can deal with you. But when you in between, when you're not sure, you don't know whether to sit up. You don't know whether to sit down. You don't know whether to run. You don't know whether to walk because you confused. I can't use you. And since I can't use you, I gotta spool you out of my mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord come on, say so. Yeah, the Bible said in Revelation concerning the church, he said, look, I got somewhat against you. You got
come on.
That you doing right, I'm cool with. You say that thou art rich, and you are. I allowed you to prosper, but because of your prosperity, you turn your butt up to me. It's time now for those that's playing church. Quit playing. God is soon coming back. The proof is, even right now, while we talking on the broadcast across the water, many, many miles away from here in a foreign land where they say is the center of the universe, in Jerusalem, Israel, the home of the birth of Jesus Christ, the home of God himself. They're warring against God's people and people. Let me help you out if you didn't do your homework. The problem with fighting Israel is you fighting Almighty God. He always been crazy about Israel. This is why he allowed them to go in abundance. offended because they turned their butts up unto him and look at us. We just like them doing him the same way they done him. And if he turned his back from his, those that was his, he turned away to us and allowed us to come in. Now that we in, we doing the same thing that they done, showing our butts. But guess what, baby? It won't be long. It won't be long. We're gonna be leaving here. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. You know, we read the word, but we don't understand what we read, because down through the annals of time, history is what is called the names of cities, the names of states, the names of countries that have been changed. Assyria, that same Assyria, Babylon, that same Babylon, is Iraq. They still kicking their heel. They come from Brother Cain, who was the son of Adam, who became the Canaanites, who became the Assyrians, who became the Babylonians, who became the Ninevians, who became the Scandinavians, who also are German by blood. These folk have hated the people of God all through the years. I'm sorry, I left one out. The Egyptians, along with the Romans, they always hated the people of God. They're the ones that stretched him wide and hung him high, according to the mouth of his own word. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The Bible said, had the princes of this world known who he was, they never would have hung him high. Glory to your name, God. Let the redeemed of the Lord, come on, y'all, say so. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Going back to what's going on over in Israel. The other day, they began shooting rockets. They shot missiles. Now some did. Some did land. But there's one in particular that the whole world needs to take note of. The Hamas, the ones that shot it, they made the report out of their own mouth. They said, we know we shot it straight. We know it was going to its mark. We know the target we set. But somehow, some way, some strange occurrence happened. All of a sudden, it took flight in another direction. Now they said that's impossible, because that thing, that was our head, it was programmed to go one way. But look what God say, when your enemy come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. Though he come in one way, he flee out seven. That particular missile went in another way. Glory to your name, God. Let the redeemed of the Lord come on, say so. Hallelujah. As I begin to close, look here, y'all. Paul, he's admonishing the church. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we all speak the same thing, that there be no division amongst us. The church, it's in shambles. You say you apostolic. You say you're Pentecostal. You say you're Jehovah's Witness. You say you're faith of this and faith of that. You say you're Catholic. My Bible say, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God's not coming back for association, affiliation.
a denomination, participation. He's coming back for a church that made themselves ready in the name of Jesus. Come on, y'all. Let's redeem of the Lord. It's time to say so. Bring down your banner of separatism. Bring down the banner of confusion. Bring down the banner that would have you at odds against me. The Bible said, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Paul understood it real carefully. He said, Peter, yeah, brother Peter, although he was chosen before me, brother Peter, he's to blame. Brother Peter, the one that walked on the water with Jesus, that's the one, that brother Peter that went up with James and John when Jesus transfigured, that Peter, the same one that said, though men leave you, I'll never leave you, that same Peter, Paul said he was to blame. He was to blame since Peter was in fault, even though I was the last apostle chosen. I came not with enticing words of man's wisdom. No, Paul said, I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. No, Paul said, look here, I come with power and demonstration in the spirit. Peter, you the blame boy. Peter, you at fault boy. Peter, you wrong. You tell the Gentiles how they ought to walk. You tell the Gentiles how they ought to be. And then you, big shot Peter, almighty Peter, I'll never leave you, Peter. I'll never forsake you, Peter. Deny me thrice, Peter. You assembled, disassembled yourself when the other Jews walked in. Paul said, I went to Peter and I corrected the wrong he done. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord. Come on, y'all. Say so. Don't be scared of your bishop. Don't be scared of the leader. If they're not walking right, you just don't jump up openly correcting them. You go to them alone, and you let them know the wrong they done. It's time out for accepting any and everything from the pulpit. The Lord said, you got to give an account for the deeds that are done in your body. It's time out for believing a lie. Yeah, we got to believe the truth, y'all. We got to believe the truth. And Paul said that I'd rather believe the Lord than believe man. In closing, I believe the report of the Lord, so I'm saying so. The doctors told me the second day after my daughter had died twice, they questioned my fatherhood. They said, if you is a good daddy, I tell you what you do. You pull the plug on your baby. You let her go off peacefully. Well, see, that it never registered in my mind. Even while he talked, I never allowed those words to take root in my heart. The Bible say you are the product of what you eat. Yeah, it's not that that goes out that defiles the man. Come in that defile a man. It's that that goes out. He said life in death is in the power of the tongue. Even upon them pronouncing my baby dead, dead. I said, devil, you a liar. She shall live and not die. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. At that moment, I said so. Let it be according to your will, God. If it's your will, I still say so. But nevertheless, in my heart, God, I want you to raise my baby. You raise her back up. She just didn't die once. She died twice before she made it to the hospital. And even after the hospital was sending her on her way, it was my night to preach. I didn't have a text or a message. But once that happened, I stood up. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell them he is good in spite of what happened to my baby. He is good even though I'm going through. He is good. And the only way you can get there, you gotta be one that's been redeemed. Let me tell you a little about myself. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, an alcoholic, a straight addict, a crack cocaine, 20-something years in crystal meth, a few years, popped every pill that's imaginable. I've been in a crazy house more times than I can count on both hands and both feet. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It wasn't until I came to Stockton, California, still involved in my meth, going to church, still smoking crack, I began to cry out one morning in the church unto God. I need help. I need deliverance. Make me free. When I heard the report of a young girl that had been locked up in prison for 14 years, while listening to this report, it said three lives plus 20 years. Here it is. I'm complaining to God about my addiction. When this girl been in prison for 14 years and she had three lives plus 6 years more to go, I said, Lord, forgive me for my foolishness. But that girl, she need your help. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. When Sister Adrian finished praying, I couldn't move. I was stuck at the altar, totally confused, oblivious to what was going on from what my ears had heard. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, I want you to draw nigh to Adrian. I need you to find out more about a sister Danielle Metz. And when you find out, I need you to bond with her, to do you part. I did as I was instructed. As Adrian said, many times we fell out, but my commission was to do the will of the Lord concerning her sister. I stayed on my post, even when I was mad. I stayed on my post, even though me and her wasn't talking. I stayed on my post. My job, it had not been complete. God told me to tell Danielle that I'm working with her till she's free. She die or I die. My job is not complete. And because of that, God has sustained me from crack cocaine. God has delivered me from alcohol. God has removed crystal meth out of my mouth. I don't pop those pills. Yeah, I don't go to the club. I don't even drink strong drink or wine any longer. Whom the Lord has freed, they are free indeed. Jesus Christ delivered me from the curse of the tree becoming a curse for me. Now, the redeemed of the Lord, we gotta say so. Going back to my daughter. Because of what I done for Danielle, God remembered my labor of love and my faithfulness. When the doctor told me, challenged me about my baby, her heart failed, her liver failed, her kidney failed, her heart enlarged. And because of the time that she was without oxygen, they said, my baby is brain dead. No. But look here, y'all, no matter what the doctor said, I remain faithful, unmovable, unchangeable, unstoppable in the things of the Lord. My faith elevated just a little higher. I didn't see what they saw. I saw my baby yet breathing. I saw my baby back in church. I saw my baby walking by my side, giving God the glory. That's what I saw. It took a while before the people began to see as I seen. So since they wasn't seeing the way I saw, I called for a fast because they wrote my baby off. I said, look, I go in the room. I speak her name. She moved. She opened her eyes. Engage her daddy. He told me those were just her impulses. I said, not so. You see, I'm reminded in the word of God, the prophet Isaiah prophesied it would be no rain for the space of 3.5 years. Then when the drought was over, God told him to go back and tell the rain to come. And he seen from a distance a cloud begin to form. That's how I saw my baby in the distance, in God's hand, shaping and forming her, giving her a new heart, a new mind, regulating her body. That's what I saw. So the redeemed, it said so. My prayer was, oh God, I need you to touch those that don't believe. You see, Jesus, he couldn't do many miracles for their unbelief. So he had to put them out. He had to put them out. So again, the lesson today is that the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can be one of those that say so when you make up your mind, for God you live and for God you die. You can be one of those that say so when you acknowledge every one of your faults and every one of your sins. You can be one of those that say so when you acknowledge the Lord as your Lord and Savior, when you confess every one of your faults in all your sins. And it don't stop there. You must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I say so. Praise the Lord.
Glory. Woo, Jesus.
Thank you.
That was the word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah, the Most High. Glory to God. I know God don't make no mistakes. Jesus, this was last minute. God put you in my spirit. Say he has a word. He has given us the word, the unadulterated word. Now, if you get mad with God's word, glory to God. Still, your arms are too short, the box with God. That was the word. Read those chapters in Exodus that he gave you in Galatians and Hebrews for your own edification. Sometimes you got to go back and read the chapters above and the chapters that precede the actual one to get the fullness of what God is speaking to his people. It's time for the redeemed to say so. And as he said, if you redeem, then you should be able to praise the Lord with me. Ah, glory, you should be able to love me like Jesus said. Amen. He said, a new commandment I leave you, that ye love ye one another. Hallelujah. Michael, Pastor, you done preached that message today. It's nothing I can do but open up the lines. And anybody have a comment? Or if you have a prayer request, Pastor Michael Lewis is on the line to pray with you. Amen. We've been having some difficulties, but you know what? Anytime the Lord have a word like that, there's always an opposing factor. And the opposing factor is all of our enemies, especially those of us that has been redeemed. Amen. I had one come on the line laughing and say he just had a sex change. Well, you don't even need to be on this line. Hallelujah. You need to be calling out to God. Because one thing my Bible tells me, it says when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Okay. You can go to Romans on that, chapter 1.
Amen.
And because of that, Pastor Mike, what did God do? He gave them over. So if you're having a sex change, you may be reprobated. Hallelujah. And I ain't scared of no demons, me. Yeah, no Messiah. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of the demons today. Amen. Yeah. You already defeated. We send you back to a dry and inhabited place. You won't have free course on this line, and you won't be speaking. So you made yourself known, devil. And guess what? We've kicked you off the line. So next case. Amen. The word of God is going forth. And Pastor Mike, the enemy was working from the top, even from last week with this topic, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He want to keep us bound. Hey, he don't want us to proclaim liberty, hallelujah, and freedom to the captives. He want us to be in captivity. Oh, but Pastor Mike have preached today. He have given us a revelation. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Yeah. We're going to go to Sister Ruby, and those of you that have, if you have a prayer request, hit the one button on your line. Amen. Amen. And we'll pray for you. Other than that, those of you all that want to comment and have any questions about the message, you're free to do so at this time. Into your hand, Sister Ruby. Ah, glory to God. That was a word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory.
Mother Charity.
Yeah, praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Praise
the
Lord.
Praise
God
Lord.
Bless you, amen, today. I enjoyed those words coming from the man of God, amen, and concerning his life, his daughter.
Ooh.
Praise the Lord, amen, and how God redeemed him, amen, and it's just been a wonderful words of life. And I just thank the Lord today, amen. Glory to God. I was just a little bit kind of down in my spirit because they was having Bishop Mason's funeral today. Praise
yes.
God. And so, yes, Lord. And so y'all pray for us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, Mother Charity. We when I wasn't on the line when we first opened up, and I paid homage to Bishop Mason. I watched some of the homegoing celebration, so I open up with some scriptures and, you know, ask the saints to continue to keep Mother Mason and the Mason family in our prayers. Now, Bishop Mason was a sweetheart. We loved him. We loved him. And he loved God's people. So our heart is saddened, but we're going to continue on. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So we're praying for that family as a whole, Mother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Look like Sister Ruby done dropped off. The devil been busy, but we have victory.
Thank you,
we
Jesus.
We have the victory.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So
thank
God
you.
Bless you, Mother. We praying with you. And I know all of us are sad, those of us in affiliated with the Pentecostal churches of the Apostolic Faith. Bishop Mason served so faithfully, and he served pleasantly. Some people serving God and they have anger in them. You know, anger while they're serving God. People, they're mean and they're nasty. But Bishop Mason loved God's people. He just was a people person. He was a people person. So our hearts are saddened, but we know that, amen, he's gone to a place where we all striving to get to.
That's right.
Amen. So we're going to continue to lift that family up in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go to Evangelist. God bless you, Mother. Evangelist Rosalie Moody, and then we're going to go to Sister Leslie Priest, and then we'll go from there. Amen.
Hello,
amen. Evangelist Moody, God bless you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. I'm glad you posted that about Bishop Mason. I had no idea. I just found out today when I started. Yeah, I had no idea. I missed out, but it's all right. Mm. I was able to see it today, and I've been to his church before, and my heart is touched, and I am praying for his family.
Yes.
In the midst of it all, he was a good man of God, and I want to say this: I enjoyed the message on today, and I want to thank God for you, Adrian, for what you're doing. I'm really touched by this ministry that you have going on, and
thank
I have
you,
a guest that's on here who you probably haven't heard her in a while. Mom, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear
that's
me?
Mother Moody.
Yes.
God bless you, Mother.
Oh. Yeah.
God bless you, Mother Moody.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
God bless you
such
too.
A joy. Such a joy to hear your voice.
Oh, I'm so glad. I enjoyed the message. It was a beautiful message.
Well, God bless you. We thank you for tuning in. Oh, man, I'm about to cry just hearing Mother Moody. My God, strong woman of God and bared all those children and raised them up in the fear of the Lord. Ooh, God, and you're still going strong, Mother. You sound like a young woman. And you are young in Christ Jesus. So good to hear you. Don't be a stranger. Thank you, Evangelist Moody, for inviting Mother on. Amen. We're waiting on you to give us a date. This week is open, so we're waiting to hear from Evangelist Rosa Moody, just a beautiful family there that was saved. I met Evangelist Moody and I. She worked with me with the Pastor's Aid Committee there at Greater Bethlehem Temple Church in Inglewood. Down through the years, I tell you, when I think about all of those that have come from and that was birthed under that ministry there in Los Angeles, I tell you, God has done something. And when you can leave that place and continue on serving God, that is extraordinary. Amen. So we love you and appreciate you, and keep us in your prayers. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, Mother.
God bless you, too.
All right, Mother Moody. Amen. Amen. Sister Priest. Amen. Sister Leslie. Her husband got kicked off the line. So we've been having some difficulties today, but we're going to go on. Sister Ruby,
can you hear me?
Open up since you're dropping off the line. Sister Ruby, we have a few more callers. I'll just open up since you're having some difficulties too. Sister Leslie, God bless you, sweetie.
God bless. I'm so glad you guys recorded. I will be playing this recording to my husband. I think that it will be very beneficial for us together as a couple. And my prayer request is, you know, this was a good word in letting the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I have to really pull back and get a little closer to God. Prophet Mike is my godfather, and he always gives me wisdom. And I apologize to him openly because sometimes I just don't receive it because, you know, I was raised religion in a, you know, tradition. So a lot of these things are new to me. And my prayer request is, you know, I have been calling all these different lines and I have been praying. So God revealed to me, you know, who really is living that redeemed life, you know, and practicing what we preach. And I have been hurt by leaders on these lines preaching one thing, but their lifestyle on the social platforms truly show the truth. I thank God for showing me the truth. I thank God for revealing these spirits. So I have a prayer request because I consider myself a baby in Christ because I'm now hungry and thirsty, you know, and I'm so hungry I was just calling to receive a word. And a prayer for those who eyes are not open and don't know and are being misled, and it's bringing confusion in the body of Christ. And it's really time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. So my prayer request is that God can open the eyes of those hungering and thirsting after him, that they have spiritual discernment, you know, on what is being placed across these platforms. It's sad. And that's my request. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for the two words today. Okay, you are a sweetheart. You have a passion. I can discern the passion that you have to do God's will. And sometimes our zealousness leads us because, you know, you can be so zealous until, you know, you get to encountering all of these different spirits. And I want to say to you today, even on the line openly, you know, our Bible, that's our roadmap. That's our roadmap. And God gives us leaders for us to be submissive to. Everybody is not your leader. Now, that don't mean disrespect or dishonor anybody. But your submission, the Bible say, obey them that have rule over you. God haven't given. I don't have rule over you. I'm the overseer over this line, but I'm not your pastor. So you are to submit to your pastor. Amen. And sometimes we zealous, and you know, zealousness is good because when you come into this thing and your understanding and your eyes of your understanding is enlightened. You just wanna, man, sometimes you can't even sleep because you're thinking about what can I do for the Lord today? Who can I witness to today? Who can I bless today? And that's your whole thing. And I'm like that. I want to do my life. I'm sold out to the Lord. Amen. You know, I don't desire, as I say, and I'm just saying this to you, as I came back here to this city, you know, I left here one way and came back another way. I didn't come to party. I didn't come to get in my family mess. That's not my assignment. So you have to seek God for your assignment. And when God revealed to you what he wants me to do, you stay focused on that, okay? Because there's many voices. Believe, trust me, sweetheart, 30 years of serving God, there are many voices in the land, and some have come to deceive and seduce. The Bible said if it wasn't for God, they would deceive the very elect. Ah, that's why God have a watchman. That's what the watchman is for. He is to watch. Ah, you're the Messiah. He is supposed to discern. He's supposed to be able to spell the enemy before he even comes. But sometimes people have gotten in our ear. Hallelujah. And when they begin to whisper in our ear, then they'll start sowing some poison. Ah. And they'll make us look at our leader and the folks that really have our best interest at all. They'll have us disclaiming them. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says, know them. You got to know who you're dealing with. And I don't have anything against anybody that's preaching and teaching the unadulterated word of God. But guess what? Your life, that's why this topic, let the
redeemed of the Lord said. So for some folks saying they're redeemed, but Pastor Mike just told us, the lifestyle don't reflect redemption. You got the, this walk, and Mother Charity been in, Mother Charity is 83 years old. She's been in holiness 50 years plus, she said, over 50 years. And I know she saw something. I know she's heard something. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. See God, Leslie. God will give you an answer. Man sometimes don't have the answer. Because guess what? Everything in his Bible is not open to man. He said some things is a mystery. Some things we'll never discover until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. So I'm going to have Prophet Michael to pray for you, and I know he loves you. He loves you. He talk about you. He loves you. So whatever instructions and direction he or your mother give you, sweetie, receive it. It may not be something you readily accept, but know that they have your best interest at heart. They're not interested in your demise. They're not interested in being in you being deceived. They want you to be happy. They want you to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. And they want you to be a blessing when you can spread this gospel. And when you spread, see, one thing about God, when you speak his word, hallelujah, and souls come in, the fruit should remain. If they don't, the only way it don't remain is God have given them an assignment and take them somewhere else. Amen. But they always honor and respect that which you have downloaded and imparted in their life, honey. So just keep your nose to the grind. It's all right. This is just a few instructions, and God knows those that are his. Ah, glory to God. I know those are his, and for one, two, Mike and I was talking, people have not, some people haven't been deputized. They haven't been authorized to do something. And when we look at these titles, we better try to do some research and see what these folks that have these titles, that's what the men is about, titles, but God is about souls. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. So Prophet Mike, Leslie won't pray, and then we're going to get to the other few callers that's on the line. You don't almost see it.
I just want to piggyback on what you said today. Leslie, this is so real. I mean, this is your moment, your opportunity. In the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 17 say, obey them that have rule over you, for they watch over your souls, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. Then in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2 say, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But this is what Sister Adrian said about the zeal part. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You're zealous to do the things of God for God, but because of the knowledge is not totally there. People see your zeal, and they will use that against you. Your mom is your pastor. You submit yourself unto her as unto the Lord. And if you do that, I promise you, God promise you, he's going to open doors that no man can shut. He's going to shut doors that no man can open. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you hear the request of this, my God, your daughter,
yes, God,
Leslie, even her name has set her aside for ministry, priest.
Yes,
so, Father,
God.
I'm asking you, as you have placed her in the priesthood,
yes,
that you
God.
Continue
Thank
to
you,
lead
Jesus.
Her
lead
in
God. God,
opening up her
God.
Eyes of understanding,
yes, God,
that she
Hallelujah.
Will see you ever more clearly.
Bless
Father,
children,
I pray
God.
That the bond
yes,
between mother and daughter becomes
yes,
even
God.
More stronger, God. I
stronger,
come against
God,
every spirit that would exalt itself, every spirit that opposes
yes,
itself
God.
Against your will in their
yes,
life,
Lord.
That
Hallelujah.
It be gone to naught, God. We send it back to the uninhabited places. in which you
God.
Sent it. Father, I ask you to touch Leslie from the crown of her head, even to the sole of her feet, Father.
Jesus,
keep
God.
Her in the center
Ooh.
Of your will. God, even
yes,
her marriage, you strengthen
oh,
it, God. Touch
God.
Her God. Right
God.
Now, as he is the way working, God, doing what he's supposed to do,
convincing
for the family. Father, because of their obedience, God, I'm commanding
yes,
that you send a blessing their way not many days
yes,
hence,
God.
That you pour them
Thank
out a blessing,
Jesus.
Not room enough
pour
to receive,
blessing,
God.
Lord.
Father,
in
I'm asking that you will continue to show yourself mighty in the
yes,
priest's
God.
Household, even saving their
yes,
uncles,
God.
Their cousins, their nephews,
yes,
nieces,
God. Let them
the
be alive, God.
Even on the side of Pastor Beatrice Martin, all her loved ones, you
yes,
sent
God.
Them into the house, God, before
in
it's everlasting place. God, I ask you that you would bless my goddaughter right now, God. Give her a word
yes,
to be
God.
Instant in season. Give her the spirit to wait. To wait,
yes,
to be patient. You said, in patience possess ye your souls. Father, I thank you for everything that you have done, even for
yes,
the
Lord.
Things that you're going to continue to do in the life of Leslie Priest. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
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 Thank
and
you,
Sister
God.
Leslie, I want you to know God has a calling on your life. And see, because of the calling, because of the calling that God has on your life, you can't mix with everybody. Yeah, no, ah, Jesus, you know, because guess what? The enemy would abort that call that God has on your life, and that's what he's after. Because so he want to keep you with, well, who do I get one from today? Well, guess what? The word is here for you. That
yeah.
Bible is there 24/7. Get in yeah. your Bible. When you are concerned about something and you don't know who to turn to Jesus. Turn to the word of God. And I guarantee you, any concerns you have, God will answer. You have a calling on your life, girl. Ah, and the enemy knows that. Okay, and that's what he does. He want to draw on your anointing. He want to pull on your anointing. Because some of these folks ain't anointed. I'm going to tell you what God loves. They ain't anointed, and they ain't been called, and they sure ain't been appointed by God. Some
Amen.
Of them have appointed themselves. Some of them are self-made. They got self-made. You better hear me today. Hear the Holy Ghost today. Some of them have appointed themselves, and you'll know it, because guess what? There should be some fruits. These signs shall follow them. I don't care if they're prophets or apostles. They're living like hell. They ain't of God. So you can be apostle. You can be prophetess. But guess what? When I look at your life and your life don't mirror what you say you are, I got a problem with you. Hallelujah. Now, God got a bigger problem with you because you're deceiving. The Bible says in the last days, scoffers was going to come. Who
yes.
is scoffers? Scoffers are those that mock God. Ah, hallelujah, they mock God. They're speaking in tongues and laying hands and please, the devil be damned. You know who you serve, and you got a calling on your life. Separate yourself and seek God. Do your fasting like you've been doing. Now, you know, the most fire. And you wait on God for an answer. And even with some of these lines, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, the most fire. Lord, the God got to give you a word. I want to talk to you today, Leslie. I don't want nobody to talk to you today but me. So all of your friends, put them on mute today. Put them on do not disturb. You won't disturb me today. I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. You know what I'm going to say? Hallelujah. And I'm guaranteed. And see, that's what the enemy plays on. Because many times we want friends. We want our friends. We want our family. Yeah, we want them to be saved. Hallelujah. But your responsibility is to impact their lives. Don't let them impact yours. You be the one that's setting the order. Oh, glory to God. You set the stage. You spread the table. This is what we're going to eat today. Now, if you don't want to eat this, then bye-bye. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But this is what we're going to eat today. Hallelujah. We're going to eat Hebrews 12 and 1. We're going to lay aside some of these weights today. We're going to eat what the scriptures Mike gave us today. That's what we're eating today. And see how many stick around to eat with you. See how many stick around to eat with you when you give them the word. Oh, glory to God. All right, all right. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you,
and
God.
We're going to be praying for you. Okay, Brother Richard, God bless you. This is Brother Mike. And Brother Mike, Pastor Mike, I want to tell you, Empress was on. Your niece out of Sacramento, she was on. And Brother Richard been on the whole time, so we want to certainly open his mind. What you say, Sister Ruby?
He's back on, Mike's niece, 9165136. She's back on. She's at the end of the line.
Empress, okay, we'll get Empress after Richard. God bless you, Brother Richard.
How you doing, Sir Andrew? God bless you. Bless you.
Oh, just so good. Always good to see you and hear your voice. We just love you and appreciate you and thank God for how supportive you are of your brother. That's a blessing when you can support your family, especially when you of all people know the life that he led before he came to Christ. And even when he came to Christ, he even testified today he was going to church and still in his mess. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's just such a blessing to see you so supportive. And you've always, since I've known you, supported Mike. So God bless you, Richard.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just a blessing just to hear him. You know, the word was just, like I said, the word was powerful. You know, he just laid it down there. He diced it, he sliced it, and he gave it all, you know. He gave it to the people, you know, like you said, you know. And it just reminds me of his past years, like you said. When he was out there in the world, he was running. He had some track shoes on. He was running from God. And now he got some shoes on. And God is totally blessing, transforming, reforming, you know, restyling everything he can. And God is just, like I said, I'm proud of him, you know. The man, he's phenomenal. You know, God is just, he's opened up his eyes just more and more, you know. And that's what, that's the thing that I long for. I wish that God would just give me the umption just to understand the word more and more like he does my brother Mike. You know, like I said, I got that zeal for him, but like I said, I just don't understand everything, you know. That's what I want right there. That's what I want.
Well, God is going to open up your understanding, Richard, because God has a calling on your life also.
Amen.
See, your seed is blessed. Your seed, I didn't know y'all father, but I knew your mother. And guess what? God's word said, he said the promise is to our children, our children's children, and to as many as the Lord thy God should call. Hallelujah. Mike is able to comprehend and understand because he getting that word. He getting that word. He fellowship. He go around and support other people and get in the word. So just ask God to open up your understanding because he have a call on your life too. Yes, he does. A strong calling, and you have such a beautiful voice. Your family, that family, I've met some of your family. You all are blessed. You all are talented and gifted. Amen. So all you got to do is seek God for him to open up your understanding and get in that word, get you a concordance and study that word, amen, and get in it. And God will start revealing to you what his perfect will is for your life, for your life. And then when God does that, then you're able to give that same message, that same food, and that manner that God give you, you'll be able to give it and extend it to your family, to your neighborhood, to your community. Amen. God has a work us to do. It's time for us to get busy. Hallelujah. Hello. It's time for us to get busy and quit making excuses and, oh, I don't think I'm capable. I don't have the confidence. Yes, you do.
Okay.
He said he qualified those that are called. He'll qualify you. Hallelujah. And give you every tool that you need to be successful in Christ Jesus. So you keep on following Mike. You'll get everything that God, you'll know everything that God has for you to do, Richard. He got a work for you to do too. Uh-huh. And you all have a large family. So guess what? Hey, we got to try to reach our families, our communities, our coworkers, our neighbors, everybody that we out there. I try to tell people, get your little business card, a little something together. And if you're in a church and you're being fed and you're growing, then you won't invite somebody to come go along with you. So get something and say, hey, invite them. Your people need, the people are going through. And just because they may be dressed up outwardly, inwardly, they're going through hell. Inwardly, they don't know which way to go. Inwardly, Evangelist Moody, some of them are contemplating suicide. So you don't know. A friendly smile, just a touch, reach out and shake somebody's hand. You don't know what that might do for that person that day. But sometimes we're so caught up into what we're going through, and what we're going through ain't about nothing. Because somebody else is going through something much worse than what we're experiencing. Hallelujah. So I'm going to be praying with you and for you that God will show you specifically. He's going to give you some specifics of your calling, Richard. And you know you have a calling on your life, but you've just been, you know, kind of wandering and, you know, oh, well, should I do this? Should I do this? Even your singing with you and Mike and everything. Your brothers, y'all can, Lord have mercy. Ooh, if y'all just come together and really unite, I mean unite and put all of your differences aside and let the redeemed, because you all have been redeemed. You just got to speak it and say so. Yeah. Huh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You brothers get together, it wouldn't be no stopping y'all. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to Empress. Be blessed, Richard.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. You bless you.
All right. Love you much. All right. Let's see. Empress might want to say something. You know these young people. God bless you, Empress.
Hey.
This is Brother Mike's niece, you all. She's such a sweetheart, Empress.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on what my Uncle Boo was just saying. I'm proud of my Uncle Mike, too. It was just wonderful and amazing to hear him talking like that and preaching like that. And he breaks it down really well, because just the same as Uncle Boo, you know, I struggle with trying to understand the word myself, but always pray for it. Better understanding. Uncle Michael helped me with that too a while ago. Yeah, it's just a blessing to be able to see him here now this day, like just doing what he's doing. And I'm glad to have somebody close like this in my family to be able to lean on and reach out to and help me get through everything I'm going through.
Yes.
Wow.
I do have to get off too. I'm mad I didn't, well, I wasn't able to hear everything because I have a prenatal appointment and I had to get off the phone. I was in Kaiser.
Okay.
And I got back on.
All right. Well, all right. Well, we still know. Go ahead.
I don't know. Right now, I'm kind of, I'm pregnant by my son's father. I have a 3-year-old. Well, he'll be 4 next month. And I'm pregnant again by the same, by his father, but we aren't together. And I lean on the Lord when I need him, when I'm in, like, dire need. And then after he helps me get out of the situation that I'm in and I feel much better and I'm relieved, then I still pray, daily, but I don't lean on him the way that I was before. But so this time I am going to do things different. I want to get my son baptized and everything. But my struggle is dealing with his father. It's like someone that I have to communicate with on a consistent basis. And I feel like I'm kind of leaving him behind every time I'm getting my spiritual healing, and then he's not. I don't know how to just move on without him. Like, it makes it a struggle for me, and it makes it really, really hard for me to communicate and deal with him in the midst of my...
All right, well, I'm going to call you after the show, Empress, but I want your uncle to pray for you, and we know those are soul ties are strong.
Yes.
Soul ties are strong. And I'll talk with you a little bit more and privately, but God has a calling on your life, sweetheart. He loves you. And God is going to give you the strength that you need. And sometimes we move and we grow and we see these knuckleheads, they want to stay where they at. Hey, leave them where they at. Sometimes you got to leave them where they at. And you got to pursue.
That doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel right. To just leave them.
All right. Okay. All right, well, Uncle Mike, go right ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, even I know it's hard for you to see, understand that you don't feel right, but it is right. In the Book of Chronicles, these men had fought hard with David, and they took wives of the land, the strange land, and their wives had children, and some of their children had children, and these men, no doubt, they loved their wives, but God told the prophet to go to them and tell them they need to leave their wives and their children. And these men, they wept. They wept bitterly because they loved their wives. And the reason why God made them leave, first of all, they married women of another nation, women of another denomination, women of another origin. They were not of his people. And that's a soul tie. They were tied to them spiritually. And that spiritual implication was, this is the bloodline that Jesus was to come down through. It would have been contaminated. So God had to purify the bloodline, and that's with you with your relationship. He wants to purify your relationship with him. That means sometimes you got to cut off those ties. Now, if it's meant for you to be with them, got to bring them back. If it ain't, you got to muscle up and say, okay, God, I'm going to live for you, regardless of what that individual do. And I know that's hard for you to understand now, being pregnant and in the condition, you all emotional. But like Sister Adrian says, she's going to call and talk to you even more. But the thing I'm going to ask you is to be strong. Muscle up a little courage. Just get a little courage. Like God told the prophet Joshua, only be thou very courageous. You got to take courage in some things. So be courageous in the step that you're getting ready to take. It's unfamiliar territory. It's strange land. You ain't been down this road. You might have thought you had. But this road is a lot different. So it's going to feel uncomfortable, and the comfortable thing to do is run back to the person. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bring before you my niece, your daughter, Empress Barner. I'm asking you, Father, as you was with me, be with her, as you were with David. I'm asking you to be with her family. Continue to lead and to guide, shield and protect from hurt, harm, and danger. As you promise him, you let no evil occurrence come nigh Solomon all the days that Solomon sat as king. So I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you put a hedge round about Empress, her son, and the newborn baby, God. Father, if it's meant for the relationship, then you work it out where the young man acknowledges you as his Lord, acknowledge you as King of Kings, that he would begin to become saved, God, that he will repent of all the evil that he have done professing you over his life. Father, I lift not only them alone, but even his mama, God, Angie. I'm asking you to touch her, to save her, to feel her, that they would be on one accord with Empress concerning both child. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm asking you to strengthen Empress, establish Empress, and settle her in the things that you have for her, the calling that you have placed upon her life. You stayed the hand of the enemy who tried to take her mind. God, I'm asking you right
now
to renew her mind, to give her the mind that you possess, God, the mind of Christ. You said whosoever mind is stayed on you, you would keep them in perfect peace because she trusts in you. So, Father, our trust is not in man, but our confidence is in you. So I'm asking you, God, to continue leading and guiding her, shielding and protecting her. We be careful to give you glory and honor in all that we say, ask, and do. We pray that you get the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. So I'll be calling you, Empress. Look for my call.
Okay, call me.
All right, love you.
Thank you, guys. Love you, Uncle Michael.
Love you too, Em.
All right.
All right, okay. All right, we're going to area code 818. Last four of your numbers, 2940. God bless you, caller. Hello?
818.
Yeah, area code 818. The last four of your numbers, 2940. Do you have a prayer request or question or comment? All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Amen, amen. I got one more caller. Amen. Area code 916. This number looks familiar. Last four of your numbers, 0745. Can you greet us? Okay. God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Amen, amen. We're going to, I still see this number on here, the sex change man. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to Sister Ruby. I can't deal with no sex changes, okay? I ain't been equipped for that yet. Hallelujah. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. It's been a day with this, but this is with man-made stuff. Come go out and folks just mess with it, but the Lord let you get right back on and continue on where you left off. I'm on the line. Evangeline? Oh, who's that?
I can hear you.
Yes, who's this?
Prophet Lewis.
Oh, Prophet Lewis?
Uh-huh.
You're not Prophet Lewis.
Yes.
Oh, what you mean, Prophet Lewis? From where? Where did you put the yellow?
This is me, Sister Ruby. Sister Ruby, this is the speaker.
Oh, okay, because this other one is another long thing. Okay, then I'm supposed to be talking, right?
I thought.
Okay, that's Evangelist Bernard. I don't know where I'm at anymore. Okay, let's go over here. Hello, am I talking? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so Evangelist Bernard is on. Oh, okay, that's her light. Okay, Prophet Lewis, God bless you. It's just been so convinced. The word is just a blessing. You know, yesterday you came on and you normally give a report about your daughter and everything. And I was saying, you know, it was prayer. It was prayer time, so we normally don't do testimony, but I didn't consider it really a testimony. I just really considered it going in with the prayer, and it just was on my spirit, and that you would give us an update, and then the Lord, I don't know what Evangelist Bernard, with the man got off here, so that you would, you know, you would lead, and the experience you have went through, that could tell the, you know, the audience, you know, the listeners and callers that came on the chat room yesterday about your experience, because it was so devastating and that you were involved with it, Prophet Lewis. It just felt my spirit, even though Sunday is a particularly prayer time. But the Lord had, you know, you to come on and tell us about your daughter, and normally we prayed. I prayed, then you came on. But then something say, ask him to pray, for the people out there for what he has went through. And, you know, it just was awesome. It was like, I said, Lord, this is awesome. But it wasn't testimony time, but you gave a testimony of how you asked the congregation, you know, the radio broadcast here to pray for your daughter, Tracy Fowles. I had the last name wrong, but Tracy. You have, so it was like a update report, but I felt the Lord in the midst of it. And to make a long story short, this was a truly blessing. The Lord hadn't finished with you from yesterday, but I had no idea that Evangelist Bernard had called you to bring the word today. And I didn't. When she talked to me today at 12:35, 12 around the time, normally converse a little earlier, and I'll know who to set up the chat room and all on who's going to be the guest speaker that's going to bring the anointed word today. And I told him, I didn't mention it to Evangelist Bernard, because normally we don't Sunday or Saturday or mostly like that, Prophet Lewis. So I felt in my spirit the Lord hadn't finished with what he had inside of you for this broadcast. So
right.
When Evangelist Bernard called me, something after 12, she said she was later calling me because she had done a lot of things. And then I explained to her, you know, what took place yesterday, that it was different, that I moved in a different way as the Lord was leading me, even though it was praying for the people on, you know, the ones that went on the broadcast or whoever was going through the same thing you go through, by faith and believe. And Prophet Lewis is speaking of that. I almost fell out my chair because yesterday I felt like the Lord hadn't finished with you for this broadcast.
Amen.
And you know, normally we pray, but you gave us the thing, and then you pray for the people with the same different problems, or if they had problems, I mean, you truly pray after that. Yeah. So that was a blessing, and I opened it for Don and this and that. But it went a little bit different yesterday.
Yeah.
Had to be the Lord, because Evangelist Bernard called you today to bring the word. I had no idea.
Amen.
The word was just awesome. It was still bottled up in you, and you had to give us the rest the Lord had for this particular radio blog talk on this earth. So God bless you and fill you up more, and it was truly anointed. And say, get right with yourself and with Jesus. So God bless you. I feel like I was hearing from the Lord, Prophet Michael, yesterday. I feel. Woo! Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I could do what he called me to do.
Hallelujah. Back over to you, Evangelist Bernard.
Amen. Well, we're going to give it back to Prophet Mike with some of the callers have already signed off. Again, we want to remind you all about this citywide crusade. I'm excited about it, and I know God is going to move. Again, we ask you, those of you that will, sow a seed. You want to see one of your loved ones, come on in. Sow. We're looking for God to sow souls into the kingdom. The harvest is ripe, the Bible says, but the laborers are few. So we need some laborers to go out and glean this harvest, because we know it's ripe. Amen. It's already been commanded of God. So we thank Prophet Michael from taking out of his busy schedule to come and share the word of God. Truly, my heart was fed on today. My soul was fed. Amen. And my heart is rejoicing. So God bless you, Prophet Mike. Thank God for you. Thank God for Empress and Brother Richard, Evangelist Rosalie Moody, and all of the new callers that called in today to support. Stay tuned for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Prophet Carlos Pearson will be ministering for us. Thank God for Sister Leslie, who was on with us also. God bless you all. Back into your hands, Prophet Mike. You can close us out with a word of prayer and have the final remarks.
Okay. Just in closing that, yes, I'm getting ready to go back up to the hospital to be with my daughter, so that is a request that I will continue to ask to remember praying for my daughter Tracy. She's still showing signs of improvement. She's responding, opening her eyes. She's trying to talk. Last night I seen fear for the first time in her eyes, and I calmed her. Said, baby, you're fine. You're in the hospital. You're okay. You're in good hands. And as I began to tell her that, she calmed down. So it's letting me know that she's starting to regain all of her faculty. The nurse said in the report that her potassium was kind of high, but they were considering stopping dialysis. But for whatever reason, the stool didn't do what it needed to do, so they gave her another treatment this morning. And I'm not there now to get the report, but I'm getting ready, you know, to do what I need to do, freshen up. Then I'm heading back. I stay overnight every day, you know, to be by my baby. Cause I want her to pop up, wake up, and, you know, don't see me around at all. So, you know, I want to be there when she gains full consciousness so she knows I'm her side. That is my baby. Love her dearly. She was doing the things of God when the enemy decided to afflict her body. And, you know, it's that we as the redeemed, we have to say so. You know, when God does what he do, we just say, so. So let it be written, so let it be done. Your will be done in our life, God. So with that, that's the final word. Dear kind and gracious Father, Lord, we thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
For to assemble. Thank you for the word that came. Oh, God, that it fell upon good ground, that it should spring up to everlasting life. We thank you for the moderator of this broadcast, oh, God, Sister Adrian, asking you to be with her, even give her desires of her heart. I touch in agreement concerning the citywide crusade, God, that lives change, lives shall be filled. Lives shall be made different, made whole, God. We pray that your spirit with ours, even if we don't make it there, but in the spirit, we in agreement for total citywide deliverance in New Orleans, Louisiana. Save loved ones. Set free, God, in the name of Jesus. You said if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if you hear us, you said in your word, God, we have the petition desired of you. And you know the petition that you have placed in the heart of Sister Adrian Bernard, Pastor Bernard. So I'm touching you on that now. Father, also, we say a special prayer for the Mason family.
Yes, Lord.
Sir, you have called home, that you will strengthen the mother that is still here along with all the children, nephew, everyone that is affected by this, including the PC.
Bless you, God.
We ask you to strengthen the mother you have ordained in the name of Jesus. We lift up Sister Ruby Larry and all those that called in, even those that will be in the archives, oh God. We thanking you that you bless
them.
Thank
you, Lord God.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we thank you. We'll see you all on tomorrow. God bless you all. Have a beautiful day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're going to close out with... I'm at
peace. I'm at ease. Even though my heart is breaking, I'm at ease. Never thought I would be shaken, but you came and laid your hands on me, and now, oh Lord, you came and laid your hands on me, and now I can see. My storm has moved away. You died for me on Calvary, and now, oh, 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 you died for me on Calvary, and now I can see my storm. Come on, can you port your storm right now? My storm has moved away. I'm at peace. Come on, you want to lift your hands and thank Him for peace. Even though shaken, oh Lord, hey Lord, I remember the day, Lord, I remember the moment, Lord, you came and laid your hands on me, and now, oh, oh, oh Lord, you died for me on Calvary, and now, I can see my storm has moved away. You came and laid your hands on me, and now I can see clearly now the rain is gone. You came and laid your hands on me, and now it'll be all over in the morning. You came and laid your hand on me, and now I can see my storm has moved away.
My storm has moved away. God bless. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock, California time. God bless.
Amen.
Amen, Prophet Michael. That was a word. Whew.